Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Hey everybody, could you hear me okay? Fantastic. Hello everybody, welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're going to do a talk show. It's fantastic. There's a game on, Celtics and Heat. Who will win? Someone rich. I want to be rich like a basketball player. That's a life. You know what basketball players like? Don't look at the TV. It's just an advert, Pirates of the Caribbean. Number 4. Directed by Gore Vidal, who also... Why am I talking about Gore Vidal? This was not written down anywhere. There's a reason it was... Anyways, there's a reason why I bring up basketball besides the fact that I can see it. People like clubs. Basketball players like clubs. I am not a fan of clubs. I seem to eat and drink a lot when I'm in a club. That's weird. I've been to more clubs in the last 2 months than I have in the first 28 years of my life. There's a reason for that. It's called the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy to get on a VIP list. It means nothing. In reality, you'll just eat fancy food. They're not really fancy. It's buffet. How fancy could that be? You'll drink awful drinks made of vodka that will be watered down. Women will look like they're wearing sausage casings. I'm going too far. I'm advancing the monologue too much. If you have a toothpick in your mouth and you're trying to look like LL Cool J, you don't look like LL Cool J. You just have a toothpick in your mouth. And that's okay. And women in the sausage casing, you don't have to dress like that. It's not important. And just keep in mind, 98% of male DJs are just dudes with weird noses that never learned how to play bass. But they're not bad people. No, no, no. If you have a weird, pencil-thin facial hair of any sort, I don't get it. I realized after going to all these clubs why I asked my girlfriend to marry me. It's very... I know. Here's how I know. My girlfriend, fiance, weird, is not the type of person club photographers like to shoot. In fact, they stay away like the plague. That's ironic, though. Shut up. Shut up. I love you, Danny. You would think that people that have STDs would go to the plague, but no, they stay away. I'm insinuating club photographers have STDs. That's what I'm saying right there. You got it, buddy. Shouldn't do crowd work on an audio podcast. It never works. My fiance looks the same in the AM and the PM. There's no surprises. It's fantastic. She reads. She reads books and magazines and articles. I agree, boo. It's very annoying. I gotta read. I wanna go to a club. No, I gotta read. She drinks whiskey instead of vodka. Yes, I completely agree. It's great. By the way, I've decided to do the show on like half speed. Did you notice that? It's because I'm not drinking. It's very odd. She doesn't do anything that would make her mother cringe. And that is a very important factor in deciding who you should marry. Now, don't get me wrong. I used to care very deeply about a woman that worked in a club, that knew club culture. I have a lot of friends that love to go to clubs, and they're not awful people. They just had really shitty dads. And here is my premise. It is the shitty dads of America and other places. It's their fault that the modern day club exists. Here's my point. House music. House music was created in the 1980s. What was the biggest divorce decade? The 1970s. 10 years later, all of a sudden, could you think rationally when is happening? No. You go to clubs because you hear and things are rubbing on you. And those things are going to give you love, the kind of love your shitty dad gave you, and that's not the kind of love you should receive. I'm saying these people were raped by their fathers is what I'm getting at. The end. Nice for coming. No. Don't clap to that. That's awful. I didn't clap to that. But think about this. Divorce skyrockets. Clubs as we know them skyrocket. You're more than willing to pay for a drink that both keeps you awake and makes bad decisions. You're trying to get back to your three-year-old selves. You're kind of dancing to songs that either have no lyrics or the lyrics are like nursery rhymes, like, let's all dance, let's all dance. That's not a real lyric. That's a... And you just want to fuck. And that's why clubs exist. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are thinking about breeding and are a male, don't be a shitty dad. Or you will then produce a talk show host wannabe. Or you will produce someone that likes to go to clubs. And I don't even care about that. I don't have kids. What I really care about is creepy facial hair. It bothers me. And dads of America and the world, all you need to do is not be shitty, and the modern day club as we know it will not exist. And this talk show is a preventative measure from having shitty dads. Isn't that right, Ian? Fantastic. Metal sign. We have a fantastic... That was a weird ending. That was weird. I liked it. I'm happy with it. I think I did okay. I had a shitty dad. There's no excuse for this type of behavior. Pity applause, really? Yeah, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all the women that were kind enough that I know that use birth control. You're the real hero. It's true. I'm not ready for that. And thank you for making me not have to be ready for that. You're aces, every girl ever that uses birth control. You're number one in my book. Want to go to a club after the show, Ian? Fantastic. We're going to a club. We have a fantastic show tonight. We have illustrator Bill McKay. Please put your hands together for Bill. We have stand-up comedy from one of the hardest-working comedians in D.C., Jimmy Merritt. Please put your hands together for Jimmy. And for a return performance, we have music from Johnny Grave. Johnny Grave was on the show last week. I absolutely loved him. He's coming back. Ian, will you play some walk-in music for me? Ian Walters, everybody. Ian plays every single Sunday night at the Wonderland Ballroom and every Wednesday here at the Looking Glass Lounge. How are you, Ian?
Well.
Do you find it... I just realized how like crazy it is that I kind of demand that you play music for me to walk 3 feet.
It's not the first time.
It's not the first time. How do you feel when you're playing that music? Are you just thinking this guy's a dick? He didn't have a good dad? What are you thinking during that walk?
It's kind of like when you play a wedding.
Have you played many weddings?
Sure, they're great money.
Really?
Great money. And it's a solo gig usually, you know, on the organ or the piano. You don't have to pay a band.
What's a highly requested song that you play?
Here Comes the Bride is pretty
That's a very
popular,
important one.
You know,
and Here then, Comes the Bride.
Lots of times. The trumpet Voluntarian D is a very popular
What's
entrance.
That?
Do 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 do.
Could you just play it instead of humming?
No, I gotta hit a button.
You gotta hit a button? I don't hit any buttons. Last week you were not drinking, I was not drinking.
True.
How was your week since then?
I think I got to Wednesday without having a drink.
Good on ya.
And it helped out a great deal.
Good. Are you drinking tonight?
Damn right.
I just started. This is going to be a fun show. Sorry about that pop, everybody. That was me disconnecting an iPod.
What are you drinking tonight, Brandon?
Whiskey.
Whiskey?
Yeah, whiskey. I think the reason why I was drinking last week is because I went to like 3 clubs. No joke. Why? I don't know why.
It goes well with the ecstasy and the ketamine.
Doesn't it?
Nothing like some whiskey to get you out of that K-hole.
How many blues musicians have a song called Whiskey and Ketamine?
One.
Just you?
Yeah,
all right, fantastic.
Me.
Are you ready to bring on our first guest?
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Coming to stage, he's an illustrator, he's an interesting man, and he actually asked me, why am I doing this show, when I asked him to do the show. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Bill McKay. How are you, Bill?
Not bad.
You are an illustrator.
Yes, I am.
Bill is putting on sunglasses. Are you putting these on for ironic reasons or because the spotlight is very bright?
That light's pretty brutal.
It is a brutal light. What do you think I should do instead of having a spotlight? Got a lot of answers.
I didn't think I'd get stumped that soon quickly? Into the conversation.
You are an illustrator.
Yes.
I like what you illustrate.
Thank you.
What made you want to go into this for a career?
It's just all I've ever done since I was a kid. In school, I didn't do classwork. I worked on a project. I started in the beginning of the day and worked on it all through the day.
What did you draw when you were a kid?
Always violence.
Always violence.
Always violence.
Did you get into a lot of fights as a child?
I got my ass kicked a couple times, but that's about it.
Are you a fighting man?
I am not a violent or evil person.
Do you see the irony of you drawing violent images?
I don't understand why. when I was in middle school, I did a comic called The Kettering Middle School Massacre, and it featured all the teachers that I had being brutally murdered, and I even had some of the teachers giving me ideas of how they could be murdered, and one of them was the shop teacher. The shop teacher, he said, you know what, I want to be in the back room where the wood is, and you have the killer come in there, and I got my head between this woman's legs, and I look up, and there's a blonde hair coming stuck between my teeth, and then have him take my head off, and he also cut his own thumb off that year, but that was...
Did this man have...
That was a different time.
Did this man have a wife or a girlfriend?
I have no idea.
I really hope it was a redhead for some reason. Have you ever lost a thumb?
No. I broke both thumbs at one time, though, playing football. I broke a thumb, and then the following week I was playing with my broken thumb and tried to use the other hand to catch the ball and broke that thumb.
Were you an athlete?
I played baseball.
What position?
Pitcher and first base.
Do you miss it?
Not at all.
Fantastic. Can we talk more about the guy giving head and then was decapitated?
Okay, you know what? I'm struggling even to remember his name, but...
We need names, addresses.
He was eventually fired, though.
Really? Why was he fired?
I never heard the whole story.
I wonder why he was fired. Is it, you're a big hockey fan.
Yes.
That's not surprising, because this might be construed as mean-spirited, but it's not, sir. It seems that a lot of people into comics like hockey. Why do you think that is? Or am I completely off base here?
I never thought of it.
Fair enough. Next question. Cross that off. So you start drawing violent images within a few scant years. You're drawing your teachers getting decapitated after performing cunnilingus. What's next? How does this lead to a career?
Right now I'm doing the same thing.
Yep.
I working on a book called Zombies Versus Cheerleaders. And it's just straight up gore.
Who wins?
When I write it, the zombies win, but usually the cheerleaders win.
Why the cheerleaders? Why would they win? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
Because everybody likes ass-kicking chicks with guns.
What did you think of the movie Kick-Ass?
What's that?
What did you think of the movie?
Kick-Ass was my favorite film of the year that came out, easily, hands down. My absolute favorite film of the year.
What was your second?
It would have to be... You know, it's tough.
Think about it.
It was a shitty year for
Calm down. Think about it. We could think of one together. Was it King's Speech?
That was a different year, but no.
No, it wasn't. It's 2010, both of them.
Really?
Yeah,
Kick-Ass. Yeah, you're right,
I know.
Okay.
I base all the film around Kick-Ass.
I did not see King's Speech.
Besides Kick-Ass, what has Nicolas Cage done that's decent in the last 10 years?
Oh, Port-A-Call, Bad Lieutenant.
There you go.
Thumbs up.
You got that question right. I wrote that down. Good job. Okay, this is his interview, and the answer was adaptation, maybe. What did you think of adaptation, Bill?
You know what? I had it on my DVR for a long time, and then it got bumped, and I've always meant to go back and see it, but I have not seen it.
I think you see Meryl Streep topless in that. Am I right? Yes, we got a yes from the comic. That means it's true. Fantastic. You didn't... This is not a direct path. You took 12 years off from illustrating.
From pursuing illustration,
yes.
Yes.
What were you doing in that time?
I was managing an adult video store in Prince George's County.
Fantastic. Here's where it gets good. Has any of your experiences in the porn store in Prince George's County turned into illustrations?
You know, it hasn't, and I don't want to give this idea away because it's gold. But I've never done it. But it will be done
just
before I get it.
Just say copyright as soon as you say it.
You know, like barbershop, I always thought there should be one called porn shop. Because all the experiences that I've had in there and all the stereotypes.
So it's just a bunch of men complaining about women in a room?
You got the guy who comes in every day and spends $20 jerking off in the booth.
Was that a...
You know, he could be like...
What was his name? You're basing this on
Jay.
Some, Jay?
Percy.
Wait, Jay Percy is in...
Jay and Percy.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, it's been a little while, but give me a minute and I...
That's fine, that's fine. What made you stop wanting to work this dream job of managing a porn store in Prince George's County? Was it a dream job?
It was, when I started working at this store, it was bringing in close to $1 million a year.
Holy shit!
In 1999.
Did the internet completely ruin the business?
As of November of last year, it went out of business.
Oh, that's a shame. Or not.
But it comes with the neighborhood. There are people outside selling bootlegs.
Is it real? Are they really?
What?
Wait, why do you need to sell bootleg porn?
People, it's just, that's PG County, man. You bootleg and you sell and you get 3 for $10. And it's like, why am I going to pay you $30 for a DVD when I can buy 3 of them out front of your store? And the cops did nothing about it. But every liquor store in PG County had people laying out bootleg DVDs and movies.
But once again, internet, folks. Just use, that's free.
Another thing is magazines. I had customers that would come in and regulars that would spend $70 in magazines every week, and it's just sickening.
What's your favorite title?
Oh.
Oof. Is it The King's Speech? That was cheesy, I'm
Jeez,
sorry.
Jeez, that's sad. I couldn't come up with something right
no,
off.
No, that's very healthy that you couldn't come up with something right
I mean,
off.
I'm trying to block it out.
You sometimes get commissioned for work.
Yes.
How is that? Do you approach it differently? Is it any fun? Is it just like any other job?
It's the best. If somebody... Today I got an offer from a guy in Germany about doing some of his own characters, and I mean, there's nothing better. I can offer pencils and inks, color, and it's just a good feeling. You make money, and if people are like you enough that they're willing to pay you to draw their characters.
And this is a full-time job for you?
Yes.
That's amazing! What is your advice for people that want to work in comics? What should they be doing besides working in a porn store for 12 years, which is now hard to come by because they don't exist because of bootlegging? Did I befuddle you?
Yes, you did.
Sorry.
Learn computers.
So do you draw and then put it in Photoshop and then ink it that way?
I do now.
Fantastic.
Everything. I pencil, then I scan.
Do you feel like that ruins the pureness of it, or it doesn't matter?
No, I'm old school. For years, I was ignorant, and I thought, when I saw the computer graphics coming into it, that's not what comic art is, but now I've totally embraced it, and it's the best thing that's
happened.
Seems
like you kind of have to embrace it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So I still work in a classic pencil and ink style, but... computer's definitely becoming a bigger part of it in finishing.
I agree. I'm doing this on a computer. We should plug things. Where can people find your work? What are you doing right now? You brought a book for me.
Yeah, I'm working for Moonstone currently. I've worked on every issue of Zombies Cheerleaders. There's a 3-issue book called...
Somebody just said nice. That's awesome.
I have an issue that I actually penciled a six-page story for that's coming out next month with the Zombies and Cheerleaders number 3. I have an issue of The Spider for Moonstone that comes out the following month, and I'm currently writing my own story for them, which I'm going to hopefully destroy everyone that's come before that with the violence.
You're going to destroy all your previous characters?
No, destroy all the previous stories written by other people.
You have a lot of anger, don't you?
I got high goals. And
I
age.
Love that. It's good to have goals. Do you want to end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions?
Why not?
Fair enough. If you said no, it would have got real awkward. I need you to pick a number between 39 and 248.
12.
39 and 248.
99.
We're retiring the book this year, which means we rip out pages and give them to the guests who forget to take home. 107. If you knew it would save the lives of 10 starving children in another country, would you be willing to go without any new clothes for the next year? What about having bad acne for a year?
Yeah, the clothes part would be easy, but not the acne. For fuck them.
Fuck the... Fuck the kids. This is for you, Bill. That's fantastic. Oh, and what's your website? Where can people find you?
BillMcKay.deviantart.com.
DeviantArt. That's brilliant. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Bill McKay. Yeah. Batman. The theme from Batman. The television show. Batman.
Encore.
I got a point. Coming. Why am I whispering? Oh, I have a microphone, that's why. Coming to the stage, one of the hardest working comedians in Washington, D.C. Please put your hands together for Jimmy Merritt, everybody. Yay! Jimmy Merritt!
Thank you for having me, sir. There it is. Muppet Show. Awesome. How we doing, everybody? Good Mother's Day, yeah? I want to share my awkward Mother's Day memory with you guys, because my mom is very awkward but does not mean to be, but I want you to just envision what happened here. My wife and I, we invite my mom over, we start kind of small, give her a couple little gifts, kind of prime the pump, you know, get her excited, then I go, all right, Mom, get pumped, because here comes your big gift, here comes your big present, hand her an envelope. She starts to tear up, she goes, oh my God, is this a sonogram? Are you giving me a sonogram? No. It's a 6-month subscription to Netflix. I guess we can call it 2 trimesters of Netflix, if that sounds better. Like, if a baby was $12 a month, I would get right on board. Or if I could put my kid in the mail and get back when I liked better. Make this work. Congratulations on the engagement to Brandon, by the way. That's awesome. I want to share. Is the fiance? Are you the fiance? Is this over there? Because I sent some sexual tension there, so I don't know. I just made things. I really should have investigated. You're both adorable with them, so whatever happens, everybody's adorable with them. So. Oh, I'm going to go. Actually, I'm going to share it for the ladies. This is a piece of marriage advice. This is a trick my wife figured out because she's a genius. Check this out. Here's her problem. Like most couples, we don't go on dates anymore. Fuck it. Red box. Let's do this. But going outside sucks. We always take turns deciding who's going to pick the movie, though. Like we'll switch off every time. Every time it's my turn to pick the movie, I'm really into it. She's just bored beyond her mind. This is what she's realized. You women can steal this. Now she knows that if halfway through the movie she fucks me, she doesn't have to watch the rest of it. Yeah. And I'm just like, fine by me. Let's do this. Let's light this candle. I just get mad when I can tell that she is weighing her options. Yeah, she's just like, oh man, this movie's really boring. Oh, crap. That's what my husband looks like. Oh, this movie has spaceships. I'm going to get this over with. Let's just... That mime's an exaggeration, by the way, so we're clear. I'm going to assume we're all Facebookers. That's how we know about the show in general, right? We're all Facebooker. I'll get a 20 friend request when I get home. Awesome. There's something. This is my least favorite Facebook activity. You can't stand it. My friends do this thing. They'll put up a status update about what's going wrong with their day, and then they end it with the phrase FML. It stands for fuck my life. You guys have seen this. Every single time my friends do this, it just reminds me how shallow they are, because it never seems that bad. It's always just like, oh, man. All day, I was in the mood for curly fries. Then I finally got to Arby's. All they had left were regular fries. FML. I'm like, really? Your whole life? Your whole life is now fucked because of the curly fries? Can't get a milkshake and bounce back? Like what if Sudan had Facebook? Yeah, just... Oh, man. All day, I was in the mood for curly fries. Then I got drafted into a militia. I'm 9, FML. Like, now I feel better about the curly fries. So you guys like the mean jokes? I wasn't sure. How mean can I go with you guys? Can I go pretty mean? Yeah? All right, sweet. Let's do this. I was flipping through the newspaper, and I saw an advertisement for a self-defense class for handicapped children. Yeah. Thanks for not pussing out, because we did vote, so... I just... self-defense class for handicapped children. I just had to ask myself, what kind of society are we living in where handicapped children are being attacked so often and with such fervor that ninjas have to open schools and teach them how to fight? Who the fuck is mugging handicapped children? Just, hey, you give me your helmet. Bam. That's not an iPod. That's my pacemaker, please. I often end that joke there, but I'm going to keep going mostly for you guys because I like the energy. We're going to keep it going. It's the late show version of the joke. I don't know if we should be teaching them how to fight because they're super strong. Stay with me. I swear to God, it's going somewhere. Because it's good that they're strong because that's what nature does. Nature accommodates for weaknesses. Like how blind people are very good hearing. Or like Stephen Hawking, his body's all fucked up, so he's super smart. Helen Keller could fly. The landings were kind of dicey. Flying was... If you're offended, don't worry. Helen Keller's not in the room. And even if she was, she would have no idea what we were saying. So... It's pretty mean. I'll be nicer for you. I was actually... I was raised very religious. I went to a Christian high school growing up. Anybody else go to like Christian Catholic high school? Yeah. It was cool. I always dug it. Here was my main thing, though. Is like, I always wanted to be an actor. So every single year, I was the lead in my church play. Yeah, here's the thing, though. If you're in a play in a church, it's not really a play. It's just like a thinly veiled attempt to convert the audience to Christianity. I just want to do for you guys, this is a scene from every single play I was in growing up. It was always just this, little one act. Just, hi, Billy, I like your shoes. By the way, would you like to accept Jesus today? No thanks, not today. But hey, maybe tomorrow. I've got plenty of time. Beep, beep, room. Oh no, Billy was just hit by a truck and killed. He's in hell now. It's too late for him to accept Jesus, but it's not too late for you. That was the whole play, just 45 minutes straight of the grisly slaying of unbelievers. It was horrifying. And I always had to play the truck, so that was bullshit too. I could never date in the church either, because Christian girls have the best breakup line I've ever heard. This is what I'd get. I'd be dating a girl. I thought it was going well, and then one day, Jimmy, I don't think that God wants us to date anymore. Like, wait, what? Like, what are you supposed to say to that? Buddha thinks you make a cute couple. Is that, like, thanks for the cock block, Jesus. Real cool. Bros before hoes, Messiah. So handicapped self-defense we like, but we're timid about the Jesus joke. All right. You're all hypocrites. I'm also super into video games. Big Call of Duty fan. That's kind of my main one. I cannot get enough of it. But my problem is I'm a full-time comedian, so I'm poor. So I always have to buy the game late. Like, I get it used a couple months after it's been out for a while. And the way these Call of Duty games are set up, that punishes you. Because, like, they reward you for playing for a long time. The more you play, you get more guns, you get more ammo, your guy's more badass. I get the game late. I cannot compete with everyone that already has it. Like, I just get my ass whooped. I get the game. I'm all excited. Like, yeah, Call of Duty, let's do this. I'm walking around. Some dude who's level 50 flies by in Iron Man's armor. I look down. I'm a hobbit holding a musket. Just... bullshit. And, like, the range on the snipers is not fair. They can shoot you from way too far away. Like, the second I turn on my Xbox, I'm hit by a sniper. I'm done. It's over. And they always show you, like, the kill cam to show you how far away that piece of shit was when he got you. I check the kill cam. I'm getting shot by people playing different games. I turn on Mario, and there's a dude behind a turtle shell. Just, this is it. I got him. All right, my name is Jimmy. Thank you very much for having me, everybody.
Jimmy Mayer, sit down, buddy. Now.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay, that last bit you said was the geekiest, nerdiest thing ever.
I did that because I heard Maria last week
exactly.
Claiming to be a geek.
You are the... You, sir.
I will not have it. I will not
real
have
deal.
It.
You made me very happy. That was a really good set.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's probably why you're a pro.
That... That's a little bit to do with it.
Do you think that it's ironic that you're using the mic stand like no other guest? And also, you just held the mic and used it really well for the last 8 minutes.
My hand's tired, and now I'm just fumbling.
You're so geeky. I love you.
I'm a big dork.
You are, but I love you. Jimmy came in. Dave and I are talking. He's like, check out my joke book. It's X-Men and all their Marvel characters. And it is. What does your wife think of that?
She gets not into the geeky stuff, but she tolerates it.
For some reason, I feel like during your courtship, you were very upfront about this.
I was like, you know, I could let her know I was kind of a geek. And then the first time I brought her home and she saw, like, the action figures.
Was it, like, straight out of 40-year-old virgin?
Pretty much. And I was just like, this is what my apartment looks like. Let's just see how it plays out.
You're the kind of man I wish I was.
Oh, well, thank you.
I highly doubt you drink a lot of whiskey.
I do not.
Scream at others for your own failures.
I cannot hold my liquor.
You're so nice and funny.
Thank you.
Once again, not like other comics. What's the deal
right.
with it? Have you asked Netflix for a free trial offer or something?
I keep asking. Like, I'll just mention things in my jokes and just hope eventually someone... will hear something and get back to me. I would love free things.
Speaking of your jokes, has your wife gotten back to you about miming the laziest hand job ever?
She was actually my when I met her, she was doing comedy. That's
okay.
How we met. And she was really the one that got me focused on trying to mime better. So that mime,
are you serious?
That mime is
are you
mom's,
serious?
Yes.
That's awesome.
She was like, your jokes are funny, but I would just kind of stand there motionless because I'm kind of scared of people. So she was like, you got to loosen up, do some mime. So that kind of awful handjob mime is kind of years of mime work and just really just focusing. Just how can I create this picture for the audience?
I hope that my marriage life is like yours. Where she, my girlfriend is like, no, mime this and blah,
right, yeah.
And shit. Blowing people for money.
Yes,
that's what
whatever
it
takes.
Would you consider naming your album The Grizzly Stories of Non-Believers?
I kind of like that.
I do too. That's why I said it. Will you please say Jesus?
Jesus.
That's awesome.
That's one of those things, I never realized that I said it weird, but I've only heard it from other comedians who pull me aside.
I don't think people weren't... You're like, oh, you laugh at the Helen Keller joke, but not the Jesus joke.
They were just focusing on how I said it.
No, it's just time and a place. You're in a bar on a Monday. How many of these are devout Christians? Come on. We're all people of science, which means we're alcoholics. You missed something to do this show.
I did, yes. Normally Monday is Dungeons and Dragons night.
Are you lying?
I am not lying.
You, sir, are a real nerd.
Yep. And my gaming group is not happy that I'm here. So,
what is your... are you a character or are you the Dungeon Master?
I'm the Dungeon Master. So, if I'm not there, they're not playing.
Where the fuck are they now?
I think, you know what? It's weird. Like,
wait, where do you play? That's a better question.
We play in, we used, for a long time, I'm playing now with the same group. We started playing when I was 13.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
I just saw somebody in your mouth. Holy shit.
Yeah, so we're pushing on like 2 decades. It's not the complete same group, but there's 2 people now.
How long has the current game been going?
It's a long time.
Is it the same game you started at 13?
No, sometime, what we did, this is how dorky we are. We were doing superhero gaming, where it took place.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
So, rather than Dungeons & Dragons, this game is called Mutants and Masterminds. So it takes place in like a superhero environment instead of a fantasy one. And our idea
Course, it's totally different.
Yeah, but our thinking was, like, you know how, like, with Marvel, there's not just one superhero. There's, like, an entire world.
There's a universe.
Yeah,
the Marvel universe.
So every 6 months, we'd be like, that was it with that team. What's happening with this team? So we have, over the span of 7 years, we created this really elaborate superhero setting.
And then at a certain point, you said, that's enough. Time to go to the classics.
Right.
Now we'll play D&D.
Every couple of years, like, we'll get burned out on something. Like, between 13 and 17, it was just Star Wars all the time. Star Wars. And then the prequels came out, and we were like, we don't need to play Star Wars anymore. But right now, we're doing role-playing based on Stephen King's Dark Tower series.
Of course. That's what we
do. Yeah, right. Because it's a very rich setting to game in.
Are any of the people...
Now, Maria is not a dork. I think we've just proven this is what a dork talks about.
I've been told I shouldn't ask this question, but I really want to.
Okay.
Are any of the people in your group single?
Actually, yes. No.
Don't laugh, because I think that is the biggest catch in the world.
Yeah, a lot of us have gotten married, so there's that like weird transition where like. I knew them when they were 13, and now we're married. The guy we game with has 2 kids.
That's awesome.
He's the only one with kids so far, but he has a 2-year-old, so we now sequester there. But we've got one single guy in the group who's also a rocket scientist, ladies.
And that's not right. He shouldn't be single.
He bought a house with rocket science. Like, he's loaded.
One night a week, he's playing D&D. That guy will do anything.
Yes.
He was going to be the most submissive man ever. Marry him, every woman ever.
But half the group is married, and then we've got one with like a girlfriend he just got. One's engaged, and then we've got
the single one. You're actually social.
Yeah, we're. I mean, kind
do you have snacks during the game?
Oh yes.
What do you have?
Often sodas, Mountain Dews. Sometimes our wives will make us cupcakes to eat while we're playing.
You're all going to live to 90 or die at 50 of diabetes. Right. It's one of the two.
Yeah, we're very... That was always weird because when Episode 3 came out of Star Wars...
I think it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, we liked it, but we camped out because we were like, this is the last
Star Wars
movie.
You really camped out?
Because it was the last one. We knew we wouldn't like it. But we're like,
you know it lasts forever, right?
Yeah,
okay.
But it was the last chance, so we camped out for 11 days.
You know, all the spoilers are the next 3 movies that you've seen 1,000 yeah. times, right?
We know, but it was the fellowship of camping.
Yeah.
But then people would be confused because we were all dorks and we all got hot wives somehow. So our hot girlfriends would show up and bring us food and then leave again because they couldn't stand us talking about Star Wars.
You are both the saddest and luckiest man I've ever
met. It's weird. I don't know how it happened.
I love you so much.
Oh, thank
you.
You're
on the road half of the year. You're a touring comic.
I am.
How is that?
It's fun. It's one of those things where, like, it's primarily a college tour. Like, most of my bookings are colleges, mm-hmm. so in the summer I get a lot of time home.
That's good, right?
Filled in with club stuff, yeah. But, you know, during the summer I'm like, oh, shit, I want to get on the road.
Yeah.
And I'm on the road, and I'm like, oh, shit, I want to go home.
What's the best university to play?
I'm in love with Vermont. I love it.
That makes sense.
Every year we go to Vermont, I love it so much.
When you play colleges, do you have to be clean?
Yes.
That sounds awful.
That's the Well, the thing is, like, we have to be clean, but we can still, like, have an edge to it. It just... And a lot of times it depends on the school, like, we'll kind of field out.
Did it make you become a better comedian, having to go clean?
More just the amount of shows we had to do, maybe.
Yeah. How many shows are you doing a year now?
Normally... The way your schedule's set up, I'm home for 2 weeks, then gone for 2 weeks.
Okay, so you're doing roughly 6 months on the road.
Yeah,
every
then,
night.
And about every 2 weeks, we'll have between 9 and 11 shows. So
a lot.
Yeah, and then I'm still doing stuff when I'm home,
yeah,
too.
Like so. This. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We're going to end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. So, Jimmy.
Okay.
A number between 39 and 248.
I'm going to go with 42.
42. Why 42?
A Douglas Adam fan.
There you go.
Will know why. Maria is not a dork. I'm here to represent it.
Call back.
Yep.
To a previous
I was just story. Mad listening to
did
it.
Did you like the movie, by the way? The most recent Skeptics Guide. Sorry, I am also a geek. Mm-hmm. To a point. Right. Not really. No, I'm not at all.
Not to the scale that I've
delivered.
I used
to listen to Skeptics Guide to the Universe. I always confuse it with the Douglas Adams book. What did you think of the movie?
The Hitchhiker's movie? I wanted to like it, but I couldn't quite do it.
It's actually better with multiple viewings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll give it another shot.
Do it. It's
not awful.
The problem
is, like, I had casting in my head, and then
yeah.
it's not them.
Sam Rockwell, best casting in that movie.
Yes.
And then having the British Jim. I forgot his name.
I mean, really, yeah, it should have... I mean, John Cleese should be the alien.
Sam Rockwell, best possible casting.
Oh, I mean, not that... the one that Mos Def played. That should have been John Cleese.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the main...
No, most of it was really not awful. We are totally geeking out about a movie that's 8 years old. I'm so sorry, people. Number 42.
Let's just talk about Thor.
Okay, that's too recent. Imagine that your principal told you she wanted to make school better and would change it in any one way you suggested. What would you tell her to do?
Ooh. Now, I kind of want to, like, really invest in the character of the book and answer it as I would have as a child. You know, because that's kind of who it's aimed at. But I guess just fuck bullies, right?
Fuck bullies.
Fuck bullies. Fuck those guys.
Like, that is the cheapest applause ever. Of course you're clapping. You listen to podcasts. You come to.
I mean, actually fuck them, and then they'll calm down. They just had a lot of tension.
That's true. It's all the buildup.
Yeah.
Just that makes total sense to
give them some sex, and they'll leave us alone.
Where can people see you in... In Chicago, Jesus. I do this show a lot of places. Where can people see you in D.C. next?
I'm going to be at the D.C. Improv July... I want to say... I'm opening for Tom Papa, and I want to say...
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend Marty almost got in big trouble doing Tom... He does a great Tom Papa impression. Called Acme in Minnesota and canceled all Tom Papa's dates.
That's funny.
It's awesome. That's why Marty is not ever going to play the Acme of Minnesota. But you are opening for Tom Papa.
Yep. And mostly just come and find me on Facebook.
What's your Facebook?
Do Facebook / Jimmy the Comic.
And also your website, very easy to remember.
I really just use Facebook.
Facebook it is.
Just
never
Facebook
mind.
Me.
I'm trying to help plugs.
I don't update it often enough.
Never mind. Please
so.
Put your hands together for Jimmy Marin, everybody.
Thanks for having me, sir.
All right, we are back. I wanted to get some quick plugs, and we don't usually do this, and it's a missed opportunity that I want to take advantage of. Next week's show is going to be absolutely fantastic. We have Amanda Hest from... Sure, why not? Amanda Hess is going to be here. Sarah Donnelly is going to be here. And music from The Sweater Set, one of DC's best bands. And here's the most exciting bit of news. May 26th, the return of Brandon Weatherby reads the classics. Thursday, May 26th, at the Brightest Young Things pop-up space, Brandon Weatherby reads the classics, Volume 2, Pump Up the Volume. I will be reading Pump Up the Volume from start to finish. And then on Memorial Day, May 30th, we'll be here with my absolute favorite musician, living or dead, very, very good friend of mine, Daniel Knox, will be here, and you should all come and check that show out. I am speaking with someone who was here last week who was mad at me because you only got two questions last week.
I wasn't mad. I was disappointed.
Why were you disappointed?
I didn't get as much airtime, I felt. I felt kind of cheated out of the whole deal.
Well, I asked you two questions, and you gave me one-word answers.
Well, that'd be two words enough, so that's...
That's not enough. So far, you've gotten two questions already. Why should I keep this going? That's number three.
I'm an interesting guy.
Why are you an interesting guy? What makes you interesting?
I play a very rare kind of archaic music that's not found a lot in the city.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I play that music? Or why
no,
is it
why do you think it's not found? People know what you play if they're gonna listen to you.
It's not the most palatable thing. You were talking about the driving, pulsating kind of thing that we find in clubs. And taking the hat off is just looks silly. The
once again, audio podcast.
I feel silly without a guitar in my lap.
Extra.
The Jimmy Olsen.
You know you have a mic, Ian, right?
I do.
Fuck you.
All right. That, he said, "Fuck you" to me. He said
that pulsating kind of beat. I think what's cool is that if you slowly but surely kind of strip away all the intricacies that we hear in a lot of pop music on the radio, if you just slowly take those away, you get something that makes people not want to sit back and listen. They want to get up and dance. There's something in that cerebral cortex that just makes them want to move.
So how does it have anything to do with your music?
Well, the kind of blues that I play, not necessarily solo acoustic, but with my full band when we play out, it's very stripped down. It's very it's raunchy.
You play music that you wouldn't have to be ashamed of playing at like 40, 50, 60, 70.
Yes,
that's
I would agree. Yes, I would be very happy to be playing this kind of music if I lived to be that old. Yes.
How long do you think you'll live?
I just turned 23 last week, actually.
You're only 23? Wait. Slow down here.
Yeah.
You're 23.
I'm 23 years old. I just turned 23 last week. The day after the podcast.
You don't look 23.
I don't, no. I don't. It's the beard that fools most folks. I was talking to Dan about this outside, actually. If you shave the beard, I look baby-faced. Like...
You know,
you,
I like
actually.
You less now, right?
Really?
I bet you were old and withered and had experience.
I know, yeah. It looks like it's all a sham. It's all an act. No, I'm kidding.
That's a
no,
great
it's,
way
it's,
to yeah. introduce your music. Ian, how many questions did we have? I think his goal was 6. We got to 9. Fantastic. Let's do
just keeping score.
Baker's 10. We didn't plug your album. Yeah, I like that. Somebody noticed the joke.
You didn't, and I'm really excited about the record.
Let's plug your album. I listened to it today.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
You're doing a lot of things on it.
Yes.
You're all over the map.
Yes.
There's one part on I absolutely hate.
Really?
You want to know what it is?
Do tell.
Guess. It's an intro.
Really?
Guess which one.
The last track, the hidden
nope.
track? No.
The Rain.
Really? You didn't like
yep.
The Rain?
Nope, because I heard Riders on the Storm when I was 13. I need to hear it again. The song itself, not bad. Let's ruin it with some shitty intro. Strip away the intros,
wow.
Man. You don't need the intros.
Man, no, that's because you listen to records and you know the idea of listening to sounds from start to finish, listening to an entire
yeah.
record from beginning to end. And that's it's not necessarily just the music. It's a story.
Take it out. It's not necessary.
It's too late, man. It's already in there.
It's very... Wait. You can't alter it digitally?
I can't alter it. I don't choose to alter my art. It's already out there. It's
oh,
done.
Fuck you. I don't alter my art. Nice hat. Me. I'm wearing it.
I'm not the one wearing a matching tie from the comic over there. I mean, they look pretty strikingly
He's
similar.
He's wearing a ska tie, and I'm wearing a bootleg ska tie. I have a good tie on. Fuck you, vestie. By the way, I only said that because his vest... This is why you got to come to the show. Are you single or no?
Yes.
Real? That's surprising.
Recently single.
You look great in that vest.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. You got a good outfit going on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't pull that off.
Does that jacket match those pants of yours?
No, absolutely not.
Where'd you get the pants?
Kind of does.
What kind of pants are those?
Pants are Gap, coats, Macy's.
Is that cotton?
The coat?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Do they make them for men?
That's not funny because that's inherently sexist. And everyone knows I have a problem with my own tits, so you shouldn't do that.
Do they lactate?
That's not funny. This is why the cool interviews with musicians always end too soon, because you're not actually funny. On that note, here's a question from the Kids Book of Questions. I need you to pick a number between 39 and 248.
247.
There you go. 247. Are you afraid there will be a nuclear war? If so, do you have any ideas about how to keep it from happening? Once again, this is from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. Do you need me to read the question again? Fantastic.
No, only slightly and more peanut butter are my answers for those two questions.
Yep, that's why musicians don't get a lot of time in the interviews. Ian's going to play while Johnny sets up. Please put your hands together for Johnny Grave. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming to the lovely, lovely, lovely Looking Glass Lounge. You've been an absolutely fantastic audience. I want to thank Ian, obviously. I want to thank the beautiful, lovely Karin for helping out with the show. And, of course, I want to thank our two guests immensely. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together, Johnny Grave.
I rolled up last morning, baby, throw the whiskey out the door. I rolled up last morning, baby, throw the whiskey out the door. And my best girl told me to get running, don't see me no more. Lord, I packed my guitar, baby, oh, I'm about to gone. And I packed my guitar, baby, Lord, I bought a gun. I see that girl's husband, so I'm gonna see him run. Just the same old thing. I could have had religion, honey, but it's just the same old thing. Little women in a whiskey, Lordy, sure never let you pray. Lord, I looked down the road, babe, tell me, what did I see? I look down the road, babe, tell me, what did I see? Was a gang of angels, Lord, they were hollering, crying after me. Told me to get out, come running out of that door. Lord, my baby told me to get out, come running out of that door. Lord, her husband done come home, can't see her no more.
Thank you. Walter's the piano player. I met him a couple years ago at a folk festival. We met up at another folk festival in Elkins, West Virginia. It's called Augusta. It's a heritage festival. And we were partying out that night, drinking massive amounts of whiskey. And it's a great place for musicians, not just to experience blues and to experience the history of the music, but also just to experience each other, to share songs, share stories, and share whiskey. And this old cat comes up, a really grisly old guy, about 80 years old, but he pulls up next to us, and he starts playing, and this is as best as I can remember, this is how that song went. Got passed. Uptown girls gotta smoke their own grass. I say, now won't you be kind to your kitchen? I mean your dining room, sweep out your pantry, mama. Won't you be kind, baby, to your kitchen and keep your backyard clean? Well, I got a nickel's worth of beefsteak, a dime's worth of lard. Come on, pretty mama, loving you is hard. I say, now won't you be kind to your kitchen, I mean your dining room. Sweep out your pantry, mama. Won't you be kind, baby,
to your kitchen and keep your backyard clean. And a dime's worth of gin. Oh, I'll spend a whole dollar just to look at a grin. I say, now won't you be kind to your kitchen? Oh, I mean your dining room. Sweep out your pantry, mama. Won't you be kind, baby, to your kitchen and keep your backyard clean? Oh, I'm so glad that the law got passed. Say, uptown women gotta go. I say, now won't you be kind, mama, to your kitchen, and sweep the back room, clean out your pantry, mama. Won't you be kind, baby, to your kitchen, and keep your backyard clean. Oh, now won't you be kind, baby, to your kitchen, honey, and keep your backyard clean.
How are you? All right, so do y'all want a heartbreaker or y'all want like a romper stomper?
Romper stomper.
All right. If you like what you hear, you can take me home with you. I've got CDs for sale for $10 a piece at the end of the show. You can also find me at johnnygrave.com. You can find me on Facebook. Here's an old song. It's called Shake 'Em On Down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Woo. So on tour in Birmingham a couple years ago. Staying down south by the good graces of the Magic City Blues Society, the Birmingham Blues Society, very, very nice folks. This is one I wrote at the very end of the tour, on a very nice evening. Things move slower down there, and it's a really different feel of a town. We're very kind of pressured. We all move fast in this town. You're thinking about your day job right now. You're thinking about where you got to be tomorrow morning, aren't you? It's that fresh-faced pessimism of Monday evening.
Sunset over Birmingham, Lord, I'm leaving too soon. And how I got here I can't recall. This familiar feeling round the room. My bags are packed. Last night in town, won't be back for a long time. Rain plays a song as sun heads down. Someday I'll make this city all mine. Pocket full of money, red dirt on my boots. My guitar stashed into a case. My mind drifts back to the girl back home. How the moonlight hung all around her face. And the only voice in my head is the song. Melody won't leave me alone. Strings of my heart there. Hail in my hand, this box of wood and steel carries me home. Cigarette smoke drifts out into the wind, and the radio tower lights up the night. And the stars might fall on Alabama, there's still a few more left in the sky. So one last whiskey, drink it down slow. Doesn't taste like this where I'm from. Can't take it with me, I'll leave my spirit here. Fight off tomorrow with the sun.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Get the machine on.
Johnny. Okay, one last plug. Where can people find your stuff?
on iTunes. If you search for Johnny Grave, J-O-N-N-Y-G-R-A-V-E.
Johnny Grave on iTunes. And where's your next show that people should attend?
I'll be playing at Modern Times Cafe, which is the basement of Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue in between Van Ness and Cleveland Park.
That should be a show. When is that?
Friday night.
Friday...
This coming Friday, what is it, the 13th?
The 13th, Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Fantastic. It's a great date to remember.
What will go wrong?
Thank you so much for playing. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to the crowd. Thanks to the Looking Glass. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.